Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda here and welcome to your Fit Chicks Chat. Today I have a very special guest. I've got Shauna Kaminsky joining me. Hi Shauna.
Hey, good to see you.
Nice to see you too. How are you today?
I am good.
Good, awesome. So for anyone listening, Shauna Kaminsky is actually, she's a fitness expert. She is super passionate about women's health. And we are going to be talking specifically though today about women's, I guess, like their health and fitness once they are above the age of 40, right? Because that's kind of like, you're like a real expert in this area and you're a real expert when it comes to like menopause health and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's an area that gets overlooked often because it's your body and your metabolism and all those things change so much as you age. And so I really think, you know, let's just dive into the information because I think that this is stuff that people need to hear about. They need to know that it's normal. They need to know what they can do to sort of combat it as well.
Absolutely.
So what would you say would be, first of all, like, let's start off, like, what are some of those major changes that you actually, that women can experience or may be experiencing after the age of 40 in terms of like their body, their metabolism, all those kinds of things? What would be some of those like common things that you see, and what would be some of the techniques that you would suggest they use in order to combat that?
So one of the biggest things that I hear often is that so many women say, you know, I approach the age of 40, or I just turned 40, or I just turned 42. There's something magical they think about the age of 40 and a tanking metabolism. So the most common issue is a tanking metabolism. And as a result, weight gain, and most common is abdominal weight gain. So I refer that to as like menopause belly, even though at the age of 40, women aren't going into menopause. It could be perimenopause. It could be the start of it. But for the most part, age 40 is like the tanking metabolism is the most common issue that I hear kind of 99% of the time from women. So that was the first part of the question. Now I know it was a loaded question. What was the
second part? and so it was, what's like the most common, and then what would you recommend in terms of like combating it? Because if it is around metabolism, if that seems to be sort of the key that everyone kind of comes to you with, like as an expert in this field, they're coming to you and saying, this is what I'm experiencing. And you, it's the same thing over and over again. What is sort of your answer to that? How do people combat that?
Well, the thing is a lot of people just think, oh, well, it's menopause. I can't do anything about it. It's age-related. Mm-hmm. It's just age-related decline. It's just, I got to accept it. And there's so many things that are going on with our bodies and so many things that we're actually in control of. Yeah. The most common issue, so number one, the most common issue is a tanking metabolism, but the most common like solution, and actually a hopeful solution that actually works, is what happens with women. And actually I want to point out that this happens with men as well, because
I was going to ask. So it's interesting.
Yes. As men, you know, the clock turns over and they turn 40 and they turn 45. If you look, their waistlines aren't the same as when they're 30. Right. So it's not entirely hormonal. We can't blame our hormones for everything, although there is a hormonal tie. You know, the main thing that we can do is we can increase our metabolism. So the thing that typically happens is as we age in our 30s, we start trading muscle or muscle tone for body fat. So we have a change in body composition. And when you think about it, if I asked most women, if I said, are you the same weight now as when you were 20 or 30 or 40? Yeah. And most women would say, no, I've gained a little bit of weight. So even if we're lucky enough to be the same weight, we might not be the same body composition, because typically most women become a little bit more sedentary. If we're moms, our kids are older and we're sitting down more. If we're workers. We're often, you know, not heavy laborers when we're 40, whereas when you're 20s and 30s, you know, we may be working ourselves up the corporate ladder where you're moving around a lot more. Just on average, women tend to be a little bit more sedentary as we age. Mm-hmm. And so even if we maintain the same weight or even put on 1 pound a year, which is ridiculously a low amount of weight.
Of course.
In 10 or 20 years, that could be 10 or 20 pounds that mm-hmm. you're not wanting to hold on to. And so that is typically, you know, as our hormones change, we tend to gain that around the middle. But the, you know, the solution is to become more active and increase our lean muscle tone. So as you'll notice, I said lean muscle tone and not lean muscle mass, because as soon as I say that, then women are like, no, I don't want to get
Hulk Hogan. Yeah,
exactly. And it's not as easy, you know, as you'd like to think. It's just
oh
not.
Gosh, no, no, no.
Yes.
I know that. Any woman who's listening right now and who's like, I don't want to get muscle mass, I don't want to be big, you need to listen to all of our podcasts that we talk about strength training, because we say it over and over again. It is not something hormonally, we are not built to just, you know, get massive bulk, generally speaking. So it has to be a very specific type of training, a very specific type of diet, a very specific type of goal that you're trying to get to in order to sort of gain mass. So, but I do like what you said. It's about muscle tone versus muscle mass, just to alleviate that mindset, right?
Yes. Yes. And it's actually the muscle tone that puts the sexy in your genes, right? You know, that's what gives you the shape. And so what's mm-hmm. happened with women over 40 is a lot of times their metabolism has slowed down because they've lost, I went the long way around of saying that they've lost some lean muscle tone and what they need to do to increase their metabolism, to increase their, the shape, what they like to see in the mirror is to build that lean muscle tone.
Right. So start strength training again, if they haven't already, I guess. And if they were strength training, would you suggest then going, maybe adding an extra session in, or maybe going a little bit heavier or things like that? Because people are always afraid of heavy lifting as well.
Well, I mean, I lift, but for my size, I mean, I lift a lot of weight and I don't get big. So it's not just about resistance training. There's a lot of other elements that can, so if somebody's resistance training, excellent. That's a great start. So mm-hmm. then the next thing we need to do is we need to, and I know that we've got some questions ahead, but we're just going to have this conversation.
Yeah, no, it's totally conversational. Let's go.
Yeah. And so a lot of times we're killing our metabolism by dieting. So mm-hmm. even if we're resistance training, but if we're dieting and really restricting our calories or, you know, yo-yo dieting, that's totally going to kill our metabolism. And mm-hmm. so we might be doing some of the right things, but not all of the right things. So dieting is killing our metabolism, and so is cardio. So mm-hmm. I know that a lot of women, you know, the one thing that they want to, you know, if I tell them to exercise, or they hear, oh, I need to exercise, or I've got this belly, I've got to exercise, the first thing they do is they go buy a treadmill, or they put their runners on and they go for a jog, or they think, okay, I'm just going to go for a walk, or they do the long, slow cardio, which is also detrimental it can be detrimental to metabolism. Some people might not know that exercise, when done for a long duration, can elicit a stress response in the body, which will elicit the release of cortisol. And you know this, that cortisol is that hormone that, you know, packs belly fat on. So some people can actually be getting leaner in other places and they still have this belly because they're under stress. So the stress might be caused from, you know, long cardio sessions. It might be caused from stress. It might, like, work stress, you know, relationship stress. It might be caused from lack of sleep. So there's all these things going on as we turn 40 that menopause just gets blamed on.
Right. No, and I think that that's a really solid point, because I do think that people, they want something to blame it on, right? Like, they want something to be like, this is like, no, this is happening because of this, and then therefore I have no solution. And that's what I think is really important that we talk about, is like, no, you even if it is menopause related, or even if it is just age related, there are always solutions. There's always ways that you can combat these things and you can change these things. Now, what do you say to someone who maybe comes to you and says, listen, I'm 45, I've never worked out in my life, but I've gained 20 pounds. I'm feeling terrible in my skin. I want to feel comfortable again. Like, what do you recommend that they do from a workout standpoint, from a nutritional standpoint? Like, how do you recommend that they sort of get started? Because that's also a fearful thing for someone who has never done anything at an older age. Not older, you know what I mean.
But they don't have those lifestyle habits.
Exactly. So to form new habits, it's a terrifying sort of step at times. So how do you recommend that they kind of go about that?
Well, I think the big thing is that women feel overwhelmed. So first of all, let's just look at their lives, especially women over 40 who often have kids, or if not, nieces, nephews, loved ones that they're taking care of, younger ones. We're often taking care of older parents, so we're kind of sandwiched in between. So from a familiar standpoint, there's lots of stress. We're often working. You know, we're doing the juggling act. So number one, women are overwhelmed just with life. And women are famous for taking care of others before themselves. So we're already starting from like a hole in the ground. Like we're in a pit already, because I feel like, you know, we're self-care is at an all-time minimum. And a lot of times women feel like if they're doing something for themselves, it's being selfish. And I tell them it's being self-respectful. So first of all, we have to just get over the stigma that you need to give a little bit of time to yourself. So because they're overwhelmed with everything. So taking a bit of time to yourself, then I know that women get a bit overwhelmed with the thought that, oh my gosh, I have to start exercising and I have no idea what to do. I have to start changing my diet. I have no idea what to do. I have all these lifestyle changes that I have to deal with on top of an overwhelming life already. Right. So my number one thing is to give yourself a bit of time and implement one healthy change. So that woman that has never exercised, maybe we're not even going to look at nutrition yet.
Right.
Maybe we're just going to look at home workouts that are 15 minutes that are just body weight. We're just going to start moving you so that it's manageable. We don't need to go buy a gym membership and all kinds of equipment and risk getting hurt. So you know what? We can do lots of body weight exercises from the comfort of your own home that will just get you moving, because that person that has never worked out before, are they going to be comfortable walking into a place with all kinds of people who, honestly, you and I know most of them don't know what they're doing, but the new person doesn't know that, right?
Right.
You know, so it's so hard for a new person to walk into a gym. Like I give, you know, big props to anybody that does that. But the fact is that new person needs to start with one healthy change. And my suggestion is to just start to move. I've got tons of ways to make that happen where it's just safe. And so you start to move, and then do that for about 3 weeks. And then maybe we're going to take one piece of your nutrition and, you know, maybe we're going to add vegetables. Then we're going to do that for a couple of weeks. So while I never want to promise we're going to lose 25 pounds this month, I would never promise that, because
well, you wouldn't want that.
No, anyone that loses 25 pounds this month has gained 30 the next month.
Yeah, no, any excess weight loss is not a good look. It's not a good idea, because it's something that you can't maintain. It's a lifestyle that you cannot maintain. And then you'll go back to your old habits. It's not because it's not a lifestyle. It's literally just you jumping 2 feet into something extreme that you can't continue forever. So, so definitely something that we don't recommend. I love what you're saying though about one healthy habit at a time. And I talk a lot about this in our programs, in our FitChicks programs too, because I recall like being at an event once, I was actually at a retreat and I was with a bunch of people that were sort of, you know, they were morbidly obese. They were at this place where it was kind of like a life or death scenario where they had to really make some huge lifestyle changes. And I remember having this conversation with someone and she said to me, you know, I'm going to start working out 8 hours a day when I leave here, because this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to eat just like celery and this. And it was so extreme. And I thought,
Oh man,
you're gonna hate me for saying this, but no, you're not gonna do that. And she was like, what? And so offended. And I was like, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm saying to you, if you do that, you will not be successful. You need to take it one step at a time. You need to take it in baby steps and not overwhelm yourself. Because if you overwhelm yourself and you try to do it all at once, exactly, you're going to just like it's just, it's not like it is possible if you really, really, really want to, but it's no, not something that is manageable.
How many people do we know that?
Well, that's just it. You can't, like, even for myself, any kind of new habit I'm trying to create, anything new that I'm trying to implement into my life, is a step-by-step process. It has to be like mindfulness or anything like that, because it's just, if you try to do it, if I'm like, I'm going to learn meditation and I'm going to meditate for half an hour a day, it's like, you either do it or all of a sudden, if you don't do it, you're beating yourself up about it. And then you just regress back into your old habits anyway. So definitely, I totally agree with you 100%. It's like step by step. So move your body, number one. Number two, slowly start integrating some nutrition into your diet, healthy habits, that kind of thing.
I think the biggest thing that my clients tell me is they'll say that, you know, I've tried so much before, but it's never been so easy as when I've worked with you. And it's because when we talk about it, it's common sense. But when you're, you know, on the other side and you have these deep desires to improve your health and this fast timeline, you don't necessarily see the forest for the trees. So when you have somebody guiding you and saying, no, just let that go, let's work on this. And then everything becomes effortless at that point when you don't try and do too much too soon. Because if you make one change at a time and you just focus on the one change, you never really feel deprived. You never feel like, oh, my lifestyle has changed so drastically that I can't maintain it. But if over the course of the year, you've made, you know, what's 52 divided by 3? I can't even, maybe 13? I don't know. Maybe 15? Changes. I guess it's more like 18.
God, I was going to say about 17, I guess. 17,
yeah. I'm just the worst mathematician. But literally, if you made a change every 3 weeks and then made 17 changes from the beginning of the year to the end, you would have a drastic change, but you wouldn't even notice it over the course of the year.
Yeah, no, and that's such a solid point. And that's such a good plan. Like every 3 weeks, just try to implement just one new habit, something small. It doesn't have to be big. It could be bite-sized stuff. Like all of a sudden you're drinking green smoothies now, or all of a sudden you're going for a walk after dinner or whatever. Like it doesn't have to be something massive, right?
Yeah.
And so, and now what would be like from a menopause standpoint? So if it is something that somebody over 40 is starting to actually have menopause symptoms, what would be some of those symptoms? Just so for anyone listening, they're just very clear as to what the difference is of the symptoms. And then what would be your recommendations for any kind of natural ways to combat those symptoms? Because I know, like, even for my mom, for example, and she knows I talk about her, so it's fine. But like she has like hot flashes, like crazy hot flashes, and she has like really weird blood sugar management stuff going on now. And you know, like she's just, her mood's fine. Like she's totally fine in that side of it, but like, she's definitely having symptoms. Yeah. And so for her, you know, I try to tell her some natural things, but I'd be curious to know what your recommendations would be for any of those symptoms or any other symptoms as well for anyone listening, because there's so many different symptoms out there.
Right. Well, I just want to say that menopause is not something that needs to be cured, because a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, this is something we need to fix this. So it's kind of like puberty. For anyone that's had teenagers or knows teenagers, and most of us have been a teenager, we know that we couldn't cure puberty. We just have to cope with it, with the mood swings.
With the punches.
Exactly. And so as women over 40, we're not going to cure menopause. It's going to happen. We need to accept it, and we need to just, you know, do what we can to offset any symptoms of it.
Right.
And so symptoms will be things like sleeplessness, hot flashes, weight gain, tiredness.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that many of the symptoms of menopause can be, people might think they have menopause when they actually have hypothyroidism or insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that I suggest, say in my book, I've got a book called Lose Your Menopause Belly, that I outline in my book to suggest, hey, you need to go get these hormones tested, like T4 and TSH, and because you might actually have a thyroid issue and not a menopause issue.
What would be an example then of a symptom that you would maybe confuse between the two, just for curiosity's sake?
Weight gain, difficulty mm-hmm. losing weight, visceral fat storage around the middle,
yeah.
Increased blood triglycerides, increased blood pressure, depression, increased hunger. All these things could be menopause, brain fog, high blood sugar, cravings,
right.
sleepiness, depression, like all those things could be insulin resistance. They could be hypothyroidism. They could be menopause. So the great thing about insulin resistance, the great thing,
if there is a silver lining, is
the fact that insulin resistance is just your body means that you can't deal with insulin well. And so that can all be changed around with diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. So if you're having any of those issues that I spoke about, if you start to do the correct kind of exercise, if you start to change your diet around, you can literally reduce these symptoms down to like nothing if it's just insulin resistance. If it's hypothyroidism, and hypothyroidism can also, include some of those things as well as like hair loss, like losing hair on your eyebrows, dry skin, same thing, inability to lose weight, weight gain, muscle, joint and muscle pain, fatigue, puffy face, dry skin, all those things can be hypothyroidism. And you can go to your doctor, you can get your thyroid tested. Now there is some issues with the thyroid tests where your doctor will say, oh, you're within the range of normal. Sometimes there's this wide range of normal that you might fall within the range of normal, but still not be feeling great. So you have to be an advocate of your own health and really kind of, I've got some other resources for that. I have a doctor that I work with in the States actually, where he does labs. So I can put people in touch with this Alan Hopkins, where he'll do different thyroid testing. It's like $79. It's ridiculously inexpensive to get really on top of your thyroid, like, because are the tests that your doctor does, is that the right one? When he says you're normal, are you really right? But like, are you really normal? If you're not feeling normal, quite possibly not. But the thing is there's lots of things that you can do to improve thyroid health just with your diet. Reducing BPA exposure, reducing stress. If you're exposed to a lot of fluoride, using UV filters can interfere with your thyroid function. Eating more magnesium can help, and selenium and zinc. And so there's things that you can eat that will help to improve your thyroid health. And the good thing about these things that I mention in my book is the fact that if you eat more selenium, zinc, and magnesium, and you don't have a thyroid issue, it doesn't matter. You're still going to have a thyroid, healthy thyroid. If you do have a thyroid issue, it's going to help support your thyroid. So a lot of the things that I have in my book and suggestions I have in my book, say for balancing insulin, that sort of thing, is that if you have a problem, it's going to help. If you don't really have a problem, you're just going to be healthy.
It's like a bonus, essentially.
Exactly.
So would you say then, for someone listening who maybe is having some symptoms and they're uncertain, so they have that uncertainty feeling, so the recommendation really would be schedule an appointment with your doctor first and foremost to go see your doctor, go see a professional, get some blood work done, get some tests done, ensure that, that your thyroid is checked and all those things are checked at your insulin levels so that you can at least eliminate, right? So it's like process of eliminations to then say, okay, if all those things are eliminated, it's potentially then menopause related or perimenopausal related. And if so, here are some strategies to combat that. So what would be the strategies then if it was specifically menopause related? So for hot flashes, if it was menopause related or anything, what would be sort of your suggestions for any kind of solutions for that? Natural solutions.
Honestly, they're the same for all. Like for hypothyroidism, for menopause, for insulin resistance, you know, for those big three in particular. And I want to also mention that a lot of people think that menopause is really, you know, estrogen, progesterone, those hormones, you know, that are going all wonky. Mm-hmm. But a lot of issues with our hormones are related with cortisol and insulin, and those are the hormones that we have a lot of control over. Mm-hmm. So that we're really hopeful with that. So number one, I would always, you know, seek a medical, you know, professional, go to the doctor. You should always get a checkup with the caveat that, and I'm not bashing the medical profession at all. You know, there's great doctors out there, but a lot of times, you know, if you're not getting answers, they aren't as informed as maybe on women's issues, for example, as you would like them to be. So if you're not getting the answers there, do a little bit of research and take the questions to your doctor. And if you have a good doctor, they'll say, hey, I'm not up on that, but let me go check, because my doctor does that. And, you know, doctors that I know, I work with a lot of doctors, and they say, hey, I love when my patients come to me with questions. And even if I don't know the answer, I become a better doctor when they come with good questions. So arm yourself with questions. Doctor, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? So you always want to go to your doctor armed with good questions. I would always say start with some resistance training. That can mean body weight training. And I want to say that it needs to be short and intense. Mm-hmm. So, because the number one reason people don't exercise is I don't have time. So the best news is the most effective workouts are actually the shortest. So when I say that you can do an intense workout and Mrs. Jones says, I haven't done anything since grade school, it's okay, because her intense is going to be different from Mrs. Smith, who's been a longtime athlete. We're not asking Mrs. Jones to run a marathon. Yeah. You know, we're just, intense is a relative term. Intense means I'm elevating my heart rate. I'm getting a little bit hot and sweaty. And we just progressed from there. So number one, do a little bit of resistance training. I've got all kinds of, you know, steps to kind of ease someone into that. And then start to make those nutritional changes, you know, easy steps in that. And then probably one of the biggest things that people overlook is sleep. We are the most sleep deprived nation ever. Like in all
I
of
believe that. Probably. I'm a new mom right now, so I totally feel that.
Congratulations. Yes, you never valued sleep until you had a baby, right?
Actually, she's an amazing baby. She sleeps really well. I'm very fortunate. I try not to say that out loud too much, because I want to jinx myself. I have moms. Other moms mad. I don't tell that to many moms, but she's a pretty solid sleeper, so I'm pretty lucky. But no, in terms of nutrition, just to touch on that a little bit more, are there specific foods that you would suggest to people that they just completely avoid? Like that in general, it just wreaks havoc for people that are dealing with menopause, or, you know, that are in the plus 40 category that are starting to see those kind of like changes with their metabolism and all that. Is there certain sort of diet restrictions that you would say, you know what, if you can eliminate it, it'll help you in the long run in the big picture of things?
Yep. And I'm not one to eliminate entire food groups. Mm-hmm. However,
neither am I. So
And I would say this for women over 40. I would say this for women under 40, because someone like you, Amanda, who's a new mom, when you implement these things now, when the calendar turns over and you're 40, you're going to have so much less issues.
Yeah.
So anybody that's listening, I hope you're not tuning out because you're like, I'm 34. I don't think this really pertains to me. Absolutely.
Preventative measures, people.
Exactly. So while I will never eliminate entire food groups, the food group that I will eliminate is processed foods.
Yeah. I don't even consider that really a food group. I consider that like, that's like the weird junk stuff that you really should just eliminate altogether regardless.
I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, our grandmothers and our mothers that told us to eat more vegetables and lean fruits, you know, lean proteins and, you know, fruits and vegetables, That's what we need to eat. Yeah. And I will not say eliminate like bread and gluten. For some people, yes, you need to eliminate it if you're celiac or gluten intolerant. We can all do with less gluten, but I'm not mm-hmm. demonizing gluten. I'm saying that, you know, if you need to connect the dots between eating something and how does that make me feel? Because yeah. some people can tolerate it and some people can't. Some people can tolerate dairy. And some people can. Some people, you know, FODMAPs, some people can tolerate onions and are fine. And some people are all bloated from it. So I can't tell someone to eat cauliflower and broccoli and be like, oh, you're fine. And they feel like a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
So the big thing is really getting in touch with what works for you. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a little bit of experimenting. I think there's a lot to be said for common sense and trusting yourself. And a lot of people say, hey, give me a diet. And so you hand them, like, I'm reluctant to just hand them something because then it's just to read it and eat it, which will work. But if you're not paying attention to, you know, I might be having to eat when I'm not hungry and then not eat when I am hungry and I never get in touch with my real appetite. It's just all about being mindful of your eating and connecting the dots between what you're eating and how you're feeling. So mm-hmm. as a broad overarching, let's not eat this. Let's reduce as much excess sugar and processed foods as possible.
Yeah.
Let's eat close to the earth. Let's shop on the outside of the grocery aisles with all the fresh stuff. And let's listen to our bodies.
Love it. No, I totally agree with you. Now, one last question, just because this is my own mm-hmm. curiosity, and this is more for my mom. I'm asking for her.
Okay.
She didn't ask me to ask, but I'm asking.
Okay.
What about caffeine? How does caffeine play into this? Does caffeine, because she likes caffeine. She actually drinks a lot of pop, which is like terrible in its own right. But how does caffeine, and does it play any role in terms of like any kind of symptoms or anything like that?
Well, I mean, as women, I mean, it is very common women over 40 that have sleep issues. And so obviously caffeine is going to have an effect on your sleep. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that women I suggest if they're having trouble sleeping is I'll ask, okay, well, what about caffeine intake? I don't know about your mom if she's having sleep issues.
Yeah,
so,
she is.
So sorry, mom. You might yeah. need to go to that decaf
yeah.
pop and that decaf coffee. And so from that standpoint, caffeine can be a big issue. It can play into adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. So if you need to be caffeinated to get through your day, you need to really be looking at your lifestyle in terms of, like, if you need to be caffeinated to get through your day, it could be that you're just, it's a vicious cycle of, I can't sleep, so I need to have caffeine. I'm having a coffee or, you know, at 4 p.m. to get through the end of my day. That 4 p.m. coffee is causing me not to sleep. So then, oh, I need a coffee at 4 p.m. again. So it might take some like yeah. sleep days to start to reduce that caffeine and at mm-hmm. least have it like before noon and see if that helps with the sleeplessness. There are other issues that can play into that sleeplessness, but and then the adrenal fatigue, it can really tax your adrenals. So while I love coffee, I do limit it to like 2 cups a day just because I feel like I'm a big person for moderation, that, you know, too much of anything is not good, but I'm not one for total deprivation either. I do enjoy coffee, so I do have it, but I have it pretty much before 7 a.m. so it right. doesn't interrupt with my sleep. So maybe it's good news for your mom, but a little bit. But you can still have it, but you have to have it earlier in the day and maybe not so much.
I don't know. I might just tell her that she can't have it at all.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
Tell her that. See how that goes.
No, in terms of, you know, just to sort of wrap it up, like I love what we're talking about today, because I do think, like I said, I think it's really important. I think that this information is confusing that's out there in the market. Like there's so much like stuff that's like telling you to do one thing versus the other and telling you that this is normal and this is just your symptoms and this, you just got to deal with it and stuff like that. So, I mean, we know that there are natural ways to reduce it: exercise, nutrition, sleep, lifestyle. Getting proper sleep, lifestyle habits, reduce your stress levels, all of those things, which are fantastic. What would you say would be like your number one takeaway for anyone who's listening today to say they want to feel better about themselves? They're over 40, they're feeling uncomfortable in their skin, they've gained weight. What would be like your number one piece of advice that you would give to them to just say like, if you do this, it will help you?
I think the biggest thing is to get support. I think a lot of, and women love community. And so when women don't feel alone, maybe when they're accountable to someone, or when they have this, hey, we're in it together. If you can do it, I can do it. Women are so much more empowered when they aren't alone. So finding that community, finding that coach, finding, you know, like the wonders of the internet are fantastic. Even if you lived in Timbuktu and you just had no neighbors or no women friends, like through, you know, the power of the internet, you can basically have all kinds of support. So just finding that support makes all the difference for women. And I feel like we are the stronger sex because we lean on each other. And so we need to lean on each other, especially when, you know, over 40, when we've got the world on our shoulders and the world is depending on us, we can depend on each other to help everyone carry the, you know, each other carry the load.
Oh, I love that. I think that's so great. I totally, and I agree with you. No, and I agree with you. I just, you know, it's such a good piece of advice that I think, you know, oftentimes like people would just be assuming that you're going to say something about like fitness or nutrition, but the fact that it's more about, you know, the mindfulness of it, of just being mindful of, you know, the fact that we do need support and we do need each other in order to like lift each other up. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, even look at you as a new mom. Yeah. Like, don't you feel better communing with other new moms? You know, getting tips, getting advice. What's happening to you? Oh my God, that's happening to me. Okay,
oh my gosh.
Gonna be okay. I'm not losing my mind after all.
I actually have a nurse on speed dial, like literally, not because I'm like paranoid. I hired her as a lactation consultant, a one-on-one lactation consultant to come in after I had my daughter. And then since then we have just stayed connected and stayed friends. And so now she's actually on like my speed dial. So anything that comes up, any questions or anything, I'm like texting. I text her.
Right.
I text my girlfriends that have kids and you know what I mean? But it's, yeah, if I didn't have that and I was just using the internet to like search things, I'd be like going crazy. So it's got to be the same in terms of like, actually, you know, if you're someone who is plus 40 and you're dealing with these symptoms and you're like, how is this weight gain? You have all these questions. You have no one to ask. You're literally going to spin yourself into like this crazy cycle of like, well, what about it's this or what if it's this? And if you go on WebMD, then you're totally crazy.
And the good thing is when you have a baby, it's like, oh, it's fun to find other moms. But when you have menopause, it's like, what are you going to do? Go to a mall and say, so you've got menopause too? Like, it's just not, it's not as sexy as when you have a baby carriage and meet another woman with a baby carriage, right?
No, that's funny. Well, and so, and Shauna, so you have an amazing online community that you have. It's a private group where women just chat, ask questions, feel comfortable because it is private. How can people find that? And just so anyone listening, the link will also be available in the post below. So make sure that you check out the link below. But if you want to just tell them a little bit about it, that'd be great. Because I think they do need that support.
Yeah. And it's super easy. Everybody's on Facebook. It's just called Healthy Secrets for Women 40 Plus. And I've just started it in the last month and it is just blowing up and it's so much fun because I realized, like I just said, you know, how women with babies like to talk. You've got, you know, but you've got this great reason to get together. Well, now we have a reason and a safe spot on, you know, it's not a public forum while I let women in. You know, if you're a woman, you qualify. And we've got a great conversation going there. So I'd love for your listeners to join me there. It's a great group. They just have to join. And as long as they're a woman, they're in.
And I'm sure, and just so anyone listening knows, like it is monitored by you. So there is, so it is a safe place. So, you know, if there's ever any situation, which I know that hasn't arose, but if there ever was, you would manage that. So anyone listening that is, you know, looking for that community, check it out for sure. I think it's a great option. Now, if anyone is looking for more information as well about you and what you do, because you do great things for women, you have your book. Why don't you tell people how they can find out more about your book and more about you and how they can get in touch if they have questions or anything that they want to ask outside of the group?
Yeah. Well, the group is a great spot if people are on Facebook. So Healthy Women, Healthy Secrets for Women 40 Plus on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I am also on Facebook. I think I might be the only Shauna Kaminsky, although I do know there are some aliases. So I guess I must be doing something good if people are pretending to be me. So I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram. So direct messaging on either of those. My book is Lose Your Menopause Belly. Lots of really simple to implement healthy changes that they can find in this book. And that's at loseyourmenopausebelly.com. Mm-hmm. And it's a free book. So I just want to put it, just pay for the shipping and handling. I want it in your hands. So there's the book, Shauna Kaminsky on Facebook, Shauna Kaminsky on Instagram, Healthy Secrets for Women 40 Plus on Facebook as well.
Awesome. And anyone listening, all the links, all the information is also in the blog post. So you can check it out at fitchicksacademy.com. And also while you're at it, at fitchicksacademy.com, if you are interested in learning more about fitness, about nutrition, about wellness, you can check out both of our signature programs that we have coming up. We have our Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification, as well as our Holistic Natural Weight Loss Expert Program. So if you want to dive in deeper, you want to get certified, or you want to just learn more for yourself, educate yourself further, you can also check out those two programs. Shauna, thank you so much for your time. It was lovely chatting with you.
Thank you.
I love the information. I think they're all, you know, great tips that people can really implement easily. And so thank you again. I wish you continued success, and
thank
we will, I'm sure, be in touch soon.
You bet.
Okay. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.